picture yourself on a beach. A beach unlike any you've ever seen. You look across a body of flat, still water. It's 15 miles wide by 35 miles long. On the horizon are tall mountains of rock. No grass, no trees. The sun is high overhead. There's a thick haze and a glare that makes you squint even with polarized shades. Under your feet, the sand seems strange. It's not like beach sand. This is spongy, crusty, with a weird, coarse texture. There's something missing. Several things missing. Where are the seagulls? No birds. No jumping fish. No seaweed. No life. And it smells odd. You're in one very strange place. In the middle of the biggest ecological disaster in the history of California, and damn few people have ever heard of it. You're standing on the shore of the Salton Sea, a vast puddle of hot, dead water, too salty and toxic to support aquatic life. That crunchy, spongy stuff under your feet is not sand. It's the bones of hundreds of millions of long-dead fish and tens of thousands of pelicans, coots, gulls, and other seabirds that died when they ate that poisoned fish, poisoned by botulism, which, of course, is the magic ingredient in Botox. How perfectly fitting for SoCal, the fake, frozen-faced capital of the universe. The Salton Sea is an open-air liquid graveyard that covers hundreds of square miles of the Sonoran Desert, an apocalyptic shit show that's been playing to alternately packed houses and skeleton crews for over a century. And lately, people are moving there. Sounds crazy? Yeah, it is. I was just there, and of all my bizarre desert visits, and there have been many, this one pinned the needle on the surreal scale. How ironic that this is episode 404. Stay with me. There's a lot more.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry, fucking Larry.
Larry from that Larry show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
Larry. Larry. Larry.
Come on, Larry. Larry. Larry.
People have favorite topographies and biomes. Some can't get enough crowds and concrete and glass and police sirens. They can keep their cities. Some want the mountains or the sea, maybe a forest or a meadow. Me, I like the shore and the desert, but my favorite habitat is ruins. Wherever I go, that's what I look for. They're fascinating. Some might say it's retrospection, but it's not. If you take the long view, when you visit a ruin, wherever it may be, you're getting a glimpse of the future. Which is why I was so drawn to the Salton Sea, and in particular, a bizarro settlement on its eastern bank, a place called Bombay Beach. How did it get that name? Is it for the city in India, renamed Mumbai? Or is it for the trap door in the belly of a plane that rains death and destruction down on the earth below? Nothing about it resembles the Indian metropolis, but apocalyptic imagery abounds in the little town. In fact, there's a very cool sculpture of Slim Pickens riding the atomic bomb at the end of Dr. Strangelove. You can see that sculpture at ThatLarryShow.com, which reminds me, this show emanates from thatlarryshow.com. And odds are you download it from somewhere else, and that's fine. But if you really want to have an immersive experience, if you really want to get this episode, you need to visit thatlarryshow.com, where you'll find many, many photographs I shot that give this context. Unless you look at them, you'll be missing a lot. A man riding a bomb to his nuclear demise is emblematic of Bombay Beach. That's the vibe of the entire place. There's a sardonic, post-apocalyptic feel to everything there. If the town had a slogan, it might be, Doomsday is nigh. So let's have some giggles. Maybe this is where I should give a little background on the region. The Salton Sea was originally named the Salton Sink. It's a depression at the northern rim of the Sonora Desert and is one brutally inhospitable tract of sand and rock. It's the lowest place in the Western Hemisphere, 237 feet below sea level. Around 1900, a bunch of developers, which is a euphemism for pimps and thieves who traffic in land, well, they thought they could transform the Salton Sink into farmland. They got the government to assist them in diverting a small canal of the Colorado River in that direction. There was a fuck-up, and instead of just enough water for irrigation, the river decided it wanted to fill the Salton Sink, and so it did. For almost 2 years, trillions of gallons of water flowed into it, filling it up like a soup bowl. And for those 2 years, thousands of government workers and engineers failed to plug the hole. Finally, they did. Enter more scumbag developers. Maybe some of the same guys.
All right. So forget the farm idea, boys. We got us a water park bigger than fucking Lake Tahoe. We'll throw some fish in it, slap up a few motels, advertise it with hot babage. If we build it, the morons will come. Hubba hubba.
And come they did. In their Chevy Nomads and Plymouth Belvederes, towing Airstreams and speedboats. They fished, they water skied, they drank, they partied. They got sales pitches like this.
What does man seek? Whatever it is, it's here at Salton City. Here is all that you and your family, your children and your children's children will want. In sports, in relaxation, in pleasure, in health, in security. Yes, an investment in a growing, prosperous future. This is the birth of a city. An investment in the future. The future is now. And you have been present at the birth of a city.
Wow. That guy said the word future 3 times in 6 seconds. And a lot of suckers bought into the place. They purchased lots and dropped double wides on them. Suddenly, just about anyone could own a waterfront vacation home for a few bucks down and low monthly payments. Their neighbors at home must have been so jealous, watching them load up the Ford Country Squire with water skis and Fiesta-colored pool toys. Never mind that the average temperature in July and August is 107. That's why Willie Carrier invented air conditioning. And all those forward-thinking, cyberitic futurists had their côte de jour for a while. Until runoff from surrounding farmland leached into that sea and made it so salty, it killed all the fish. Hundreds of millions of them. Then the birds ate the fish, and they died by the tens of thousands, and soon the place began to stink. Really stink. For years. In 2012, the stench was so pervasive, it blanketed Los Angeles, 160 miles to the north. People in Beverly Hills were nauseated. Something had to be done. Well, as early as the mid-90s, Sonny Bono, ex-husband of Cher, former mayor of Palm Springs, and then congressman, He took an interest in the plight of those Salton Sea folks and drafted some legislation to help the area, but when he died after skiing into a tree on Heavenly Mountain, no, I did not make that up, the government help died with him. Since forever, Salton Sea residents have been begging for assistance and received jack shit. Although the state did send some park rangers out to rescue some sick pelicans. La Familia and I spent the weekend in Palm Desert, which is a pretty town in the Coachella Valley. Nice hotels and restaurants, fancy boutiques. A few clicks down the road in Rancho Mirage is the Rolls-Royce and Bentley dealership. Plenty of money floating around there. And it seems everyone who has it has the wrinkles and arthritic gait to go with it. Plenty of oncology clinics and memory care centers, and hanging around there, even for a few hours, can get a little depressing. So we set our GPS for the famed Salton Sea, specifically the town of Bombay Beach. It's about 60 miles southeast of the chrome and neon of Palm Springs, and you don't have to go very far to know you're out of town, way out of town. Down there, Route 111 is just two-lane blacktop with soft sand on either side and no shoulder. So if you have a breakdown and you want to get off the road, you better have four-wheel drive. You'll pass acres and acres of date palm trees lined up in perfect rows. After a while, a railroad track runs parallel to the road. We passed two trains. Each was well over a mile long, and all the cargo was military. Dozens and dozens of tanks, trucks, and armored vehicles. Wonder if they were headed for Ukraine. The downhill slope is almost imperceptible, but you do lose elevation as you drive. And that's when weirdness began. Suddenly, all the idiot lights on the dashboard lit up. Parking brake, traction control, cruise control, and the always dreaded check engine. Fuck. We were still 20 miles from our destination. There was no shoulder, no turnouts, and no exits. Idiot lights are truly for idiots, and the single most important gauge in a car is almost never built in: temperature. If it's running hot, you damn well better check that engine. I didn't see any steam coming from under the hood, so I decided to roll the dice and keep going. When we reached Bombay Beach, I popped the hood and had a look. Oil, perfect. Coolant, perfect. Did not feel abnormally hot? What the fuck? Probably some stupid electronic glitch. Everyone was ready for lunch, so we stopped in at the only eatery in town, the world-famous Ski Inn Cocktail Lounge, including live music. The rusty sign declares it's the lowest bar in the Western Hemisphere. The Ski Inn was actually very nice, not a dive at all. We figured we'd have lunch, but the woman said they were very busy and the food would be a while, so I asked her how long for four burgers. She said, at least an hour. There were only about a dozen people in the whole place. I guess Bombay moves at its own pace. So we settled for a couple baskets of fries, which came out in 10 minutes or so. There was a shady patio with some guy playing guitar as he sang hits from the 70s and 80s, and there was a larger stage where another band was setting up for a later show. So there is active culture in Bombay Beach. Although everybody at the Ski Inn did look like tourists. Wandering around that town is trippy. Seems a lot of Burning Man-style artists have taken up residence there, and some are pretty damn good. Everything is quirky and weird. The beach itself is kind of a pop-up art gallery, a swing set erected in several feet of water, or how about a confessional? The only thing missing was a priest and a sinner. There was a solar-powered phone booth with a red handset dangling from the ceiling, but no phone. How about a wooden Tesla charging station in the sand with three-prong household plugs? A wind chime parlor A pair of rusty, hollow cast iron pyramids, a gigantic Monopoly red hotel sitting on the Park Place deed, big enough to park a dozen cars. There was the Bombay Ghost Theater, featuring the world's tallest ghosts. Of course, there are multiple displays featuring the must-have staple of the strange, mannequins. A few blocks in from the beach is a mock archaeological dig with trenches and plaster remains of prehistoric residents, all perfectly preserved for your amazement. It's wild. Maybe the most famous piece is the Da Vinci fish. It's the work of 5 different artists and crowd-funded. It really is spectacular, an original kind of a rusty, decaying, flying fish 40 feet long with a equal wingspan and mounted on a center axle. The fins are articulated and it can move with the wind. Is Bombay Beach at the vanguard of a salt and sea revival? Maybe. Hollywood and old money is suddenly noticing it. Susan Sarandon attends events there. Dan Aykroyd's daughter has performed at the Ski Inn, and a Johnson & Johnson heiress is somehow involved with the place. As the afternoon shadows lengthened, a group of 4 people walked a shiny BMW motorcycle onto the beach for a photo shoot. There was a photographer, an art director, and 2 models, a leather-jacketed dude straddling the bike, and a bride in white veil behind him. The perfect coda to a day spent in a living twilight zone. As I raised my Nikon to my eye and shot a few frames of the foursome, I heard a shutter click behind me. When I turned around, there was a tall woman with her camera, shooting me, shooting them. We laughed, and I asked her, "Who's shooting you, shooting me, shooting them?" She looked over her shoulder and then faced me with a cocked eyebrow and the perfect answer. "Wouldn't we like to know?" In about an hour, we were back at our hotel in the land of the living. My wife and younger daughter had tickets to see Sheryl Crow at the Fantasy Springs Hotel Casino. My older daughter and I opted for the casino, some people watching, and 2 dudes who played bass and guitar in a rooftop lounge 12 stories above the Coachella Valley. These guys were terrific. The bassman sang lead and he picked that bass like he was shredding a 6-string. Amazing they were. There's so much talent out there. For a while, my daughter and I stood outside on the wraparound balcony. The evening wind was cool and strong. The city lights carpeted the valley floor and then abruptly stopped at the San Jacinto Mountains, which pop up from the desert floor like sheer walls of rock. There are virtually no foothills. Against the night sky stood the tallest peak, at over 2 miles high, where some 23 years ago, my wife and I took an aerial tram to the top. About halfway up, it got stuck for an hour, swaying from a wire in the wind, hundreds of feet above a rocky slope. It was unnerving. The tram was full, and it was especially uncomfortable for her because she was very pregnant. As we waited in that tram, looking across the valley, the place where the hotel would be was empty desert floor. Now, beside me, was the product of her pregnancy, my beautiful grown daughter. Heraclitus said, "The only constant is change." In the course of an afternoon and 100 miles, we journeyed from a chrome and neon electrified oasis for retirees to the ruins of a doomed resort birthed by a chain of man-made disasters and back. The resort had a hell of an arc. From California's answer to the French Riviera to toxic wasteland in less than 4 decades. The Salton Sea may yet get its revenge. It's been recently discovered that beneath all that salty water are massive lithium deposits. General Motors is already maneuvering to secure it for their electric cars. The easiest way to access it is if all that water evaporates, which is happening. That water has been there since way before Palm Springs, Indian Wells, Palm Desert, and all the towns of the Coachella Valley to the north. If the water goes away, it will expose hundreds of square miles of dust. And when the wind blows in the desert, it does not fuck around. A good windstorm could bury the electric retiree oasis in several inches of alkaline debris in a matter of hours. It wasn't the lava that killed the people of Pompeii. It was the dust. If that doesn't do the job, the Salton Sea has one more lethal card up its sleeve. It sits at the terminus of the infamous San Andreas Fault and two other fault lines. Lately, seismologists have been monitoring a swarm of small quakes right there. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Stop by the show page, thatlarryshow.com, and have a look at all the freaky marvels of Bombay Beach. There you'll also find hundreds more episodes for your listening pleasure. My friends, I do not paint, I do not sculpt. This is my art, I suppose. And like those guys in the desert, it is crowdfunded. If you like what you just heard, click the Patreon or PayPal button and help support the show. There are other ways to help the show grow. Post it on your social media, send links to your friends, give it a 5-star review wherever you download. Oh, and before I forget, those unexplained warning lights on the dashboard? Turns out that was a little trick played by the Salton Sea. The low altitude and barometric pressure plays hell with the sensors. There are no mysteries. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts, and until that time, take no shit.